You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan. We'll be joined in just a moment by MLB.com's Mark Bowman. And we're talking about a team that's not nearly as happy as it was a week ago, the Atlanta Braves. Paul, is this team better than this? Is this just an inconsistent team? What's going on here?
Well, it's been an inconsistent team all year, Matthew. Going to L.A. and San Diego and getting swept is not how you try to stay in a race at this point of the year, and they have a tough schedule coming up. So I don't think it's really too much of an exaggeration to say that the Braves' chances of at least winning the division could be decided here in the next couple weeks.
That's actually one of the first things I wanted to ask Mark Bowman about. Braves finish up the road trip in Seattle and then come home for the Nationals, Dodgers, and A's. What are we going to be talking about with this team at the end of this homestand? Because it looks pretty pivotal.
Well, we're going to know exactly whether this team is a legit postseason contender at the end of this homestand. And at the same time, you know, right after that, they go to Pittsburgh for three. You know, since I think it was April 28th was when this skid really began. They're six games under 500, and that's about 89 games. They have not shown that they are a postseason contender. This is not the kind of stretch you want to go through, at this point in time. And they didn't take advantage of this portion of the schedule. When we talked a few weeks ago, we said, well, the Padres are mixed in between. Well, they just lost four of the seven games they played against the Padres during this brutal stretch. So this team has a lot to prove over the next couple weeks.
With that said, one thing that has been consistent about this team for really a couple years running is they beat up on the Washington Nationals. It's dangerous to make too much of three games at any point, but how essential is it that they at least get a series win against Washington just to start off this homestand?
Well, that would be huge. And like you said, there has always felt, or at least over the last, since the beginning of last year, there has seemed like the Braves had a mental edge over the Nationals. What I will say to that is they went to Washington there in June, and they won the first two games of the series and then dropped the final two. And when they dropped the final two games of that four-game set, I thought, I wonder if that's enough to kind of end that mental edge, because it's just been baffling to see how much the Braves have dominated the Nationals over since the beginning of last year.
Mark, you had a great story on MLB.com recently talking about the five things that the Braves need to do to turn this thing around a little bit. Let's talk about those a little bit. Number one was Mike Minor needs to step up.
Yeah, you know, when Mike Minor came to camp this year, he was dealing with a sore shoulder. They thought it was just because he had missed, basically been sedentary throughout January because he had had an internal surgical procedure that kept him basically on the couch. So, you know, he gets started late. He gets into the season. First seven starts in, he's had a 3.07 ERA. He looked like he would be, fine. He'd be at least similar to the guy he'd been the previous year and a half. But he's had a 7.33 ERA his last 10 starts. So even the outs are loud. This guy has not been close to what he was. I thought they might send him to the minors, for a couple starts and maybe try to get it right. They think they can just go ahead and skip a start. I don't bring him out of the bullpen a few times. I don't know if that's going to do the trick or not, but they've lost three starters to injuries. They do not have many bullets left in that rotation arsenal. They've lost Medlin and Floyd and Bambici. People say go to David Hale. Well, David Hale hasn't exactly been real sharp here lately either as a reliever. So I really think that they need Mike Minor just to provide some stability and at the same time, maybe get back to that guy who did beat Zach Greinke in the playoffs last year.
What's the alternative? I mean, it's what can they do if Minor's not right? I mean, is there really an alternate option besides hope he gets right?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, David Hale is sitting there. Gwinnett, I don't really see a clear-cut option. At this time last year, none of us knew who Freddie Garcia was. But I think this team is fun rolling the dice with Aaron Harangs and Freddie Garcia's enough. I can't see how they're going to roll that dice again and win. But yeah, I mean, if a guy comes available on the waiver wire, it's an affordable option there. Maybe they go that route.
Speaking of lack of alternatives, leadoff spot's been a real mess all year, and they don't really seem to have a very viable option there either. What are they going to do at leadoff?
I really think that putting Jason Hayward there is the answer. Maybe not against left-handers. He has struggled mightily against left-handers. But I think that's what some members of the organization are saying, that, hey, they're not Emilio Bonifacio now. Why don't you put him in the leadoff spot? That doesn't mean BJ sits the bench every day. It's just that Bonifacio, when he's playing third base or maybe a corner outfield position, give him Hayward or Justin Upton the day off, he's at that leadoff spot. But I think somewhere mixing and matching, Bonifacio and Hayward have to be there to the top of the lineup. This BJ Upton experiment is, it was laughable at the start, and it's just amazing that they continue to go with it. I looked at his stats there. He's had 34 games there. The only other leadoff hitter who's played 34 games at their top of the lineup and had a lower on base percentage is Cabrera here in San Diego, and we all know, how much they've struggled to score runs. It's there's a lot of importance of about who you put in that spot, and BJ Upton is not the answer.
Mark, I'm looking at the numbers here, and this offense baffles me because we've got this perception of it as all or nothing, home run or strikeout, but they rank better in walks and in OBP than they do in slugging. Now, none of that is great, but they're middle of the pack in OBP. They're drawing their walks. They're really not hitting for power. What's the story with an offense that, if nothing else, is at least supposed to hit the ball out of the ballpark?
Yeah, I think I glanced at that yesterday, the power. There are some guys that are down. That Justin Upton and then Evan Gattis are the only two guys I'd say they're on the same pace that they were last year power-wise. Freddie Freeman, he's probably either right there where he was last year, slightly behind. They're not getting the power off the bench. They're not getting any pop there. Chris Johnson's power numbers are down. Andrelton Simmons' power numbers are significantly down. I don't think we should be too shocked about Simmons. I think we should still be surprised they hit 17 home runs last year. I asked one of the players the other day, just asking, what do you think the problem is? And he basically said, I think maybe we're overhyped. I think people were expecting too much from this club, some of these individuals. And maybe a couple guys overachieved last year. But this is a club that needs to, their DNA is to rely on power. They just have not been able to generate it this year. And But the strikeout numbers have still been, somewhat alarming. Maybe the strikeout rate is down a little bit, but it's still high enough to negate some of that. You hit for power, and so they have not done that though.
The deadline passed, and they made a couple of adjustments. I think they identified what their most glaring needs were and addressed them, but. Are there any either external or internal moves that can still be made for this club to bolster some of the things that need to get better over the last 8 weeks?
Well, I think they'll continue to look at the bullpen. They had a game the other night, I believe they were in L.A., where Freddie went to David Hale in the ninth inning, and Anthony Varvaro had been tired, and David Hale's their long guy. He went to their long guy in the ninth inning, and he just, if this is the confidence that he has in the remainder of his bullpen, he's going to his long guy in the ninth inning. Then they're going to need more than a left-handed reliever, and it was in L.A. because it was the night before the deadline. Now I remember that saying that they're going to need to do more than get a left-handed reliever. And get James Russell. They got a reliever who throws left-handed. He's not the traditional left-handed guy, but. He is a guy who has really handled right-handers. I do think that maybe if they'll continue to look to see if they'll find a left-handed specialist, I do not see that in the organization. They do have a prospect. His name is J.R. Graham. I do not expect him to be ready by the end of this year, but they are at least working him two innings at a time right now in Mississippi. Probably best case scenario is he gets to Atlanta next year. But, you know, if he has a great if he has some success over the next couple of weeks, maybe he adds depth in September.
Mark, can you envision a scenario in which Freddy Gonzalez at some point here says, I just can't keep running B.J. Upton out there every day?
Well, I know this. I've not heard this directly from, you know, a front office guy, but you know, through the grapevine, I continue to hear the front offices would not be upset if in other words, they're not letting that contract dictate him being in that lineup. So, it is his option. I don't know if he feels comfortable putting Bonifacio in that lineup every day, but I think what he's going to have to do is find matchups and evaluate when and where to put BJ in there. Putting him in there against the 95 mile per hour, hard throwing right handers is probably not the answer. You know, there are some situations where it might fit BJ, but I think he does need to mix and match a little better, especially now that he has Bonifacio at his available for the rest of this year.
Freddie Freeman has been pretty good, but he hasn't been probably what people expected. Do people have too high expectations based on the contract, or does Freddie Freeman have a 2 months in him here where he can really make a difference?
No, Freddie Freeman he needs to get back to being Freddie Freeman. This guy is a legit potential number three hitter. He is not he's not acted like one most of this season. I do not think that it's been, he's been overhyped or expectations are wrong. I think he's gotten into a lot of funks. It's remarkable. I don't know exactly where the number is with the Marlins right now, but I think he's 3-for-40 against them. It's just incredible that for a guy to struggle as much as he has against one club like that. He had some problems with his eyes early on in the season, but there has not been anything dealing with his vision or injuries. He just needs to get back to who he is. Maybe it's a product of signing an eight-year, franchise record eight-year deal and then putting too much pressure on yourself. Whatever it is, he can make things right by putting this team on his back the last 2 months of the year.
That would be a pretty enormous development for a team that needs it badly. Mark Bowman, thanks for joining us on MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan.